a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right. Yeah.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm so happy, 'cause today found my friends in my head. I'm so ugly, that's okay, 'cause so are you. Book on here's Sunday morning. Every day for all I care, and I'm not scared. Light my candles in our days, 'cause I found God.
Yeah. Yeah. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. I'm here in Sacramento. We'll have the call of Utah State's game coming up tomorrow as they take on Missouri. Hans, you're back there in Salt Lake City, but the tournament is here. And it's time to get going. And joining us now, one of the best when it comes to college hoops, bracketologist and overall good dude, Jerry Palm, kind enough to join us. Jerry, how you doing?
Hey, Jerry.
All right, how are you?
Good. So let's start with the Aggies here in Sacramento as they take on Missouri. Give me your thoughts on this matchup, and does Ryan Odom have a little magic for another first-round victory?
Well, yeah, it's certainly a winnable game. Missouri had a terrific first season under Dennis Gates, who came over from Cleveland State and really had them going well. Had a good year in the SEC, and you know they're kind of an athletic bunch, and it'll be an interesting matchup because you know Utah State has got a pretty good team as well. That win over Boise was really important in the conference tournament to get them into the field, and now they get a shot. It's a game that's really, to me, kind of a toss-up. It'll just be kind of a contrast of styles, and whoever can dictate, you know, the tempo and the way they like to play is probably going to win.
Let's say they get past that first round against Missouri, and Arizona takes care of Princeton, and they meet up in the round of 32. Any shot against a number two-ranked Arizona team, number two-seed Arizona team?
Arizona's already lost five times this year to teams that are worse than Utah State. Oh, yeah. It's just, yeah, you know, I don't know what it is about Arizona this year. They've had a weird season because they've got five really good wins and five losses to teams that were never going to the NCAA tournament out of six. So it's just it's a strange season where they sometimes just lose focus or I don't know, don't respect their opponent or just have bad days at weird times. But yeah, of course, you know, they've already lost five times to teams that are better or not as good as Utah State. So they definitely would have a chance to get to Arizona.
So I'm a little curious, just to back up a little bit. You do great, you know, bracketology work there at CBS and put out your projections on what the bracket will look like. And it's always interesting because I do the play-by-play for Utah State, and they were right there on the edge, as you mentioned, right before that Boise State game. And so I'll get people tweeting at me like, hey, do you believe what Palm says, that they have to win this game and their last four in and stuff like that? And you know, it's just like anything in the sports world. People get, you know, pretty personal about things. So I'm always kind of curious, when you put those together, do you put that thinking of what your bracket should look like? Or are you trying to project what the committee is thinking and trying to project what you think it'll look like coming up on Sunday?
Yeah, really, my thoughts don't mean anything, or I think about these teams. I'm trying to predict what the committee's going to do. That's always the goal. I think I had Utah State in the first four, third to last team in. They did a little better than that. That's not unreasonable. It's not like I think they're overseeded or anything. It's certainly in the range of where they could have been. So it worked out pretty well for them. But they did need to do well in that conference tournament. They needed to show the committee that they could beat a quality team away from home, and that's what the Boise State win did for them.
Using as many analytics and as many facts as you possibly can to put that together, Jerry, do you still get a lot of feedback and upset people? Do you still deal with a lot of criticism?
Oh, my gosh. I deal with almost nothing else. It's pretty much every job I've ever had. My first job, my degree is computer science, and so my first job was as a programmer working for a law firm, and I did payroll, worked on payroll applications. And the guy who was a controller at the time said, Jerry, this is the kind of a job where you're expected to start perfect and improve from there. You cannot ever screw up payroll, right? that makes sense, right? Don't ever screw up payroll. That's going to get everybody mad. So, and then I was I did some officiating. I was an umpire and a basketball ref, and now I paid to have opinions on sports. So the same kind of a thing, So if the criticism bothers you, you just need to find another line of work.
So I'll take this a little step further. Is it hard to pull your emotions away from the alma mater? What are your thoughts on Purdue as a one seed and how far they could go?
They have the widest range of options in terms of how the tournament could go of any of the ones, because they could win the whole thing, absolutely capable of that, and they could lose in the second round because they're going to get a bad matchup in the second round. So, and they're just going to have to find a way to play through it. So it's, as a longtime Purdue fan, the setting aside the emotion for the alma mater is not trying to rein in the urge to pick them to win the whole thing. It's reining in the urge to pick them to lose early. Because if you ever made a movie about Purdue in the NCAA tournament, it would be called Stuff Happens. So Purdue fans are basically conditioned to wait for the other shoe to drop.
Well, I'm pleased to let you know, Jerry, that I do have Purdue in the finals against Gonzaga. So I'm taking them on the flip side.
I actually picked Gonzaga that far as well.
Yeah.
I picked Gonzaga to the final, losing to Alabama.
How about Purdue?
Yeah, I really
you got Alabama.
I really like the way Gonzaga closed this season. They look a lot more like kind of what we thought they could be.
So I believe Brandon Miller's probably the best player left in this tournament. Jerry, how often, as you're breaking these things down, do you look at the team with the best player? And how much credence do you put into that team that has the best player? Or, in other words, how often does the best player go on to win?
What? Not necessarily always. But one of the things that I look at is pros, the NBA guys, the teams that do well in the NCAA tournament, get to the Final Four, almost always have an NBA guy. It may not be the best player. By the way, that's Zach Edey this year. But the best teams, the most successful teams in the NCAA tournament usually have a guy that's like a top 20 NBA pick. Somebody that's really at that level, that's going to go on into the NBA. And again, Zach Edey's an exception because the NBA doesn't use guys like him, even though he's the best player in college basketball this year.
So you look at Alabama, and obviously, you mentioned you have them in the finals. It does feel like it's Alabama and a pretty good gap between everybody else. Give me your thought on that South region overall. You mentioned Arizona's kind of all over the place. One of the reasons I've got Alabama going that far and in the championship game is because, you know, I do feel like that region's there for the taking, just simply because I don't trust Arizona. You look at, you know, your three seed in that one, too, I think is Baylor, and Baylor doesn't play a lot of defense. It just feels like they got a really good draw there.
Yeah, oh, no question. I don't think Alabama is an overwhelming number one. And that's actually one of the things about this year's tournament that's different, is that none of these number one seeds are that much better than each other or that much better than the twos. Most years, you can pick out a couple, maybe even three of the one seeds. They're just that much better than everybody else. That is not true of anybody in this bracket. But Alabama has the best draw. There's no question they have the best draw. They got the worst two. They got the worst four. They got a three in Baylor that's struggling down the stretch of this season. It is wide open for Alabama to go through their bracket. It's just, you know, and they didn't do Kansas any favors. Kansas actually has the hardest region in terms of if you add up the seed numbers of the one through fours. Kansas has got the hardest region. Purdue's got a mismatch in round two with Memphis or Florida Atlantic, but Memphis would be worse because they've got an NBA guy. And then they could play Duke, who they've already beaten, and they could play Marquette, who they've already beaten. So it's just, yeah, Purdue and Kansas did not get any favors. Houston may have to play Auburn in Birmingham, Alabama. But Alabama, they've got a pretty clear sailing, but not because they're that much better than anybody else. It's just the draw.
Gotcha.
So, Jerry, every year I try to pick one of the play-in teams that jumps in and takes on a six seed, so one of the 11 play-ins, and had a hard time identifying it this year, and I don't know if I'm 100% secure on this, but I've taken Nevada to play in against ASU to match up with TCU and advance. How out of my mind am I on that pick?
No, that could happen. Nevada really struggled at the end of this season, so they're going to have to go back to some earlier form if they're going to make that happen. But TCU, I mean, they've got a fabulous player in Mike Miles, and they depend so much on him that if he has any kind of an off day, TCU probably can't win. But if they can handle him, just slow him down a little bit, then they'd have a shot, sure.
So I know you're doing a lot of these interviews, and I know you've been asked this question a lot, but I'll just get it out of the way. Who's your there's always a 12-5. Who's your 12-5 upset this year?
I actually picked three of them.
Nice.
And there were three teams I identified before the tournament started, and I was going to pick them no matter what. And I still like two of them. I'm not as sure about the third. But I picked Drake over Miami, and Miami's a little dinged up, so that works pretty well too. But Drake has got Tucker DeVries, the son of the coach, who could play for Miami. He's good enough to play at a high major school playing at Drake. I really like that team. They're very solid. They've got athletic guards. I think they can be a problem for Miami. I also picked VCU against St. Mary's, and I think that's a bad matchup for St. Mary's because VCU is really athletic and a great defensive team, and they'll put a lot of pressure on their guards, and the Haney's going to have his hands full with VCU's defense. And then the other one I really like is Oral Roberts, but the problem I have now is they're playing Duke. I'm maybe a little less comfortable with that, but Oral Roberts, you may remember, was in the Sweet 16 2 years ago during the pandemic tournament, led by the nation's leading scorer at the time, Davis, who's still there, although not the nation's leading scorer anymore. He's in the top 10. They have a couple other guys still around from that team. And so that's a team that already knows it can win because they've done it. So they don't have to guess, wonder whether or not they can win. They already know. So that makes them a dangerous team.
So you're not taking Charleston over San Diego State? I mean, I've watched the Aztecs a few times this year, and defensively, they're just a juggernaut. Offensively, they leave a little bit to be desired.
San Diego State?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I like their defense, and I think their defense is going to give Charleston problems they haven't seen all year.
So I mentioned that I'm taking Gonzaga to that championship game, just like you are, Jerry. And I don't know exactly why, outside of the fact I've watched them beat up on BYU year in and year out, and this team's like a really good team led by Timmy. Is Timmy one of the catalysts that's pushing you to believe that Gonzaga can get back to this championship game?
It's part of it, but actually the thing that's got me a little more confident in them than I might have been 2 months ago is their play of their guards has gotten better. They're getting improved play in the backcourt. They're taking care of the ball better. They're becoming more reliable scoring options. They're running the offense better. And that's going to be a key because Timmy's Timmy, right? You know, he's going to be a great player and, you know, and reliable player. It's the guard play that's been more inconsistent, but better since the loss to St. Mary's in that first game that they played. That almost like turned things around. Like they've ratcheted things up a notch since then.
So you've got Oral Roberts, because I was going to ask you, Duke's, as much as, you know, everybody gets kind of nauseated when people talk about Duke, Duke ended the season really, really strong, but you're not taking that into account. You think Oral Roberts still finds a way to get the W there?
Yeah, as I said, I am the least confident in that one, because I told you I was picking Oral Roberts no matter what. So they're going to have to find a way. They've got a guy who's like 7'5", but skinny. So it'll be interesting to see what he can do with guys like Phil Kowski, you know, who ended up being the freshman of the year in the ACC. It's going to be interesting. I almost kind of hope Oral Roberts gets to as far as Purdue, you know, so that we could see Zach Edey play a guy an inch taller than him.
Well, and
even though he probably weighs as much as one of Zach's legs.
Oral Roberts played in Logan this year. They played Utah State, and it was a 95-85 game. Utah State won by 10, and that dude can stretch out, too. I think he had like three or four made threes in that game.
Yeah, right. I saw that he could shoot from the perimeter. Yeah.
So one other matchup. I'm looking at the Midwest, and I'm expecting Texas to get past Colgate. We'll see how that goes, but I do have Texas advancing, even though they've had a coaching change, but a little bit of time to at least acclimatize to him. And then potential matchup of number 7 seed Texas A&M getting past Penn State. You might have a 2 seed Texas versus a 7 seed Texas A&M. Who would come out of that in the round of 32, in your opinion, Jerry?
Well, I picked Texas to the Final Four. So I guess I'm going with the Longhorns, who looked really good at the end of this year. Beat Kansas soundly at the end of the regular season and again in the conference tournament. So they're going in on a roll. Marcus Carr is a fabulous player. Probably should be a kid All-American consideration. I don't know if he actually will. But the Minnesota transfer has really been great for Texas, but they've got a lot of pieces. They're a really good team. A&M was underseeded as a 7. Probably one of the most underseeded teams I can remember. They should have at least been a 5. And that affects everybody. You know, it's not this is just affect them because they're underseeded, but it affects Penn State. You've got to play a team that's better than they should be. And it affects Texas, too, because they shouldn't have to play a team as good as Texas A&M in the second round. If they get there, you know, the seed is just a number. Now you got to go out and play. So I think an A&M Texas team would be really interesting.
Is there is there another 13 plus seed in this tournament that you feel pretty confident could punch their ticket to the next round?
I took Louisville to beat Tennessee. I'm not Louisville, Louisiana to beat Tennessee. Yeah. One of those Louis. And that's more about Tennessee. They're just not the same without their point guard, Zig Ziglar. They're a good defensive team, Tennessee, and they'll still play good defense, and they'll have some matchup advantages with Louisiana still, but I just don't expect Tennessee to be in the tournament very long, so I went ahead and picked Louisiana to knock them out early.
Well, Jerry, we appreciate your time. I know it's a crazy time of year. Thanks for making some time for us, and enjoy the tournament.
All right, thanks. You too.
Jerry Palm, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone from CBS Sports, and yeah, he works the bracketology. He and Joe Lenardi and those guys just put in a lot of time and effort and take nothing but hate and vitriol on Twitter for it, which God bless him. Turn off those mentions, man. Don't look at it.
Have you got your bracket done on KSLSports.com yet, Scotty?
So, I don't know. I need your advice on this. The answer is no, I haven't. But you tell me what you think, because it's always weird for me because, you know, I call the games for Utah State, and obviously I'm not going to have Utah State winning the whole thing, but I got to pick them to lose sometime. But I always feel weird calling, you know, for the team that I call games for, picking them to lose sometime along the way. Does that make sense? And so I haven't filled it out yet. I don't think I've filled them out when Utah State's been in the bracket before, but I'm kind of hesitant. I haven't quite gotten to that point yet. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I would do it, and I would probably just take them to the second round, give them a win. They're going to have a tough time with Arizona. Even though you heard Jerry Palm right there, he doesn't have any confidence in Arizona at all.
Yeah.
So you could even take him to the Sweet 16 and have Baylor bump him out, because I do think Baylor is going to be coming down out of the lower part of that bracket. But I think it'd be fair to take him a round or two, and I don't think anybody would give you a hard time for it.
If I put him in the Sweet 16, would I get called a homer on one side and then a sellout by the other? I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think so, man, because that is very doable. And if anybody says anything, be like, yeah, well, Jerry Palm said it's possible.
Yeah.
And then if anybody says anything on the other side, say, oh, when was the last time you won a tournament game? So, I mean, I think you're in a win-win.
Well, all I know is Sweet 16. Whatever I do, Lloyd's going to send out a link and, like, look at Homer, Scott.
No, I will not. By the way, I was surprised. Charleston being the one that he – that was the one I felt like I was most confident about.
That's the one I'm really confident about.
I know,
about.
Right? Like, yeah. He liked the other three, and so I've got two 12s beating fives, and that was not one – I was surprised he didn't like that one.
I've only got one 12.
Got me questioning
I got
now.
As much as it pains me, Duke is playing really good basketball right now. Duke is going to wreck Oral Roberts. I watched them in the Spectrum and Logan. They're a good team, but they've been hanging out in that Summit League all year and have had no competition whatsoever. They're not ready for Duke, let alone a Duke team that's playing great basketball right now. So I don't see that one happening.
Do you believe in St. Mary's as a five?
No, I don't. I've got VCU winning that game too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got VCU coming out and facing Connecticut as a four seed.
And that's another reason why I never believe that all these tournament games are just kind of randomly put together, because you cannot find a more opposite styles of basketball than St. Mary's and VCU. That is both the slowest team in college basketball versus the fastest team in college basketball. That's a fascinating matchup there.
Ken Pomeroy on yesterday.
Yeah.
Who is just the absolute best. KenPom.com. You can check out his amazing stuff that he puts up there. And I was talking to him about the chances of Texas and Texas A&M meeting up in the round of 32, and wondered if that's something that the selection committee tries to take into account. Like, all right, let's get Texas at Texas A&M matched up if they both advance. Both of them, they're the higher seed, and the probability is decent. But he said no, he believed that was kind of an organic happenstance of how they selected.
Well, I did it's been about a decade, but I did this mock NCAA selection committee thing where they bring people in. Palm's done it a bunch of times. That's when I was sitting next to the Hammer and told him not to answer Lloyd's call. It's water under the bridge.
Good thing he continues to do that, so thanks for that.
So they've got everybody's got a computer in front of them, and they're like, all right, rank these four teams, and you rank them. And then they're like, rank these four teams, and you rank them. I mean, it's a really methodical, computer-driven process. And then they spit out this seed list, one through, at that point it was 64, now one through 68. And then it goes through an S curve, and so like if they take the four number ones, and then it just kind of wraps around in this S, and that's how they say, oh yeah, we just spit out the seeds, and that's what Ken's talking about in terms of no, you can't, you know, that's how this NCAA tournament's produced. But in reality, they do give the committee the flexibility to team up a seed or down a seed as they see fit. So this thing will spit out this seed list. And then you, and then it'll put together the bracket. But then they need to make sure that, okay, you can't play a team that's in your conference in the first round. That's a rule that you can't have. And there's a bunch of these other rules, but there is a wiggle room for these teams to move up a seed or down a seed, however the committee sees fit. And you can't tell me at that point, they're like, hey, you know what? If we do this, Texas is going to play Texas A&M here in the next round. Or, hey, look, Rick Pitino could be playing UConn out of the old Big East. That could be a fun matchup with Iona. Let's move that around a little bit. Like, I have a hard time thinking that that doesn't happen at some level. But, you know, that's just me. All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hans, I know you're hanging out with Tim. RGS Exteriors, let's save some people some money. Get those rain gutters replaced because there's a lot of people out there that realizing that their rain gutters might be hurting their homes with all this snow and ice.
What is the biggest issue that comes with bad rain gutters, Tim?
Well, I would say, you know, 2 points. One, just be leaks, right? It's leaks. Just being old, the joints are old. The second thing, I guess I'm going to say three. The second thing is plugged. You've really got to be diligent and clean out your gutters at least twice a year. We used to always say Easter and Thanksgiving. You got to have them done by or Halloween. Got to have them done by those two times. Then the third thing is just what ice will do to wreck it. Well, this year we had the fall leaves come a little later, and then we had the snow come early. So you've got a combination, of potentially a deadly combination, because if you've got leaves in your gutters that they're not flowing correctly, then you get water in it, and it freezes quicker because it's not draining as quick. Now you've got double the weight, the weight of the leaves and debris, excuse me, and then you've got the weight of the ice.
Oh, yeah.
So kind of got a double whammy this year, so you've got to really be careful and watch and look, and even if you think your gutters are in good shape, they may not be. They might be sagging. They might be breaking. You just don't know, so you just got to really watch and be careful this year. I hate to say it, cause don't get me wrong, we love the business, but I hate to have a customer spend the money when they don't need to, but gutters are going to be prematurely destroyed this year. It's just the reality. We've had the perfect combination where gutters are going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, good for us, but not really. I mean, I'd rather them just be an even flow, and when they're worn out, you know, a gutter, an average life of a gutter system is about 20 years. That's about what you should get out of a gutter system. So, you know, if your gutters are 20 plus years old, they're probably due, especially with this weather.
What do more people change the gutter because of the function, or do more people change their gutter because of the aesthetics?
Function for sure. Very few people care about the aesthetics of rain gutter. Which, by the way, we have never really talked about this on the show in the last couple of years we've done this, but one of the things that we have is we have a portable half-round gutter machine, one of only two in the state of Utah. And we were the first ones to have one west of the Mississippi. And so, you know, you could do a half-round gutter system is absolutely a decorative system.
It's a good-looking system.
It's amazing, you know, and you get the full European look, you know, the brackets on the outside of the gutter, the funnels where the downspouts connect. I mean, it looks like an exact Euro system. So,
can you run the copper look through that?
So, yeah. So, we do it copper and we do them in aluminum. The copper's the best. There's no question about it. Copper is no organisms can grow on copper, no mold. It never breaks down. It doesn't rust or corrode. So, copper is literally a lifetime gutter. Yeah. You put it on there, it's going to last you forever. But you don't get the cost associated with copper because the copper we have is a pure copper. It's 100%. Pure, you cut it in half, and it's copper in the middle. There's nothing in between. And so you've got that, but then if you want that look, you can do it in an aluminum system. So you get the benefit of the look, but you don't have to spend the money on the copper itself. So those systems are 100% a look. But the rest of it is all for function. It's to keep leaves in, or as well, it's to keep water off your porch and not flood your flower beds and your window wells.
Call right now. Get on the books, 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110. I know we talk about this all the time, Tim. Somebody right now is like looking up there and they're seeing the snow start to melt a little bit. They're like, I got to get those things replaced, or I got to get that addressed. And then April, June, July, August, and you're like, oh yeah, I was going to deal with that. I'll work on that in October. And then before you know it, it's January again. So don't waste any time. Just call and get on the books right now. 801-280-3110 right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Wherever you go, the Zone will be right there with you every step of the way. It's the all-new KSL Sports Zone.
I love it!
Where you can listen to the Zone wherever you may be.
Listen to me, this stuff is available everywhere.
It's your new home for streaming the Zone and getting all the latest news, insight, and analysis of the teams you can't live without. It's the all-new KSL Sports Zone.
Available now wherever you shop for apps.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
The wheel is loaded, and it's time to talk some sports. This is Sports Roulette with Hanson Scotty, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hanson Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're all having a tremendous day. I know I am. Lloyd, I don't know. You doing okay?
I'm good,
back
man.
There?
I'm doing okay. Great.
Hey, Sports Roulette brought to you by Salt Lake City Weed Man. Because lawn care is not all alike, go to weedman.com today. Go to weedman.com right now, where promises are kept and lawns are kept green. It's weedman.com. Hey, Lloyd, I've gotten a couple tweets about this. I'm out of town. I was not able to listen. But did Jake and Ben say you had the beat us, or what's going on here?
That's a long story. So somebody brought in some cupcakes, and I just didn't want to be hassled like to have it. I didn't want to be forced to have it. I said, "Oh, sorry, I got diabetes." And I probably shouldn't have said it.
Oh, jeez. Was it a client?
So they found it. No, it wasn't.
That's something you need to be joking about.
No, I wasn't necessarily joking about it. I just thought, you know what? They'll be like, "Oh, okay." And they'll move on. And then I felt bad after I said that. I was like, I probably shouldn't say that. So I said, I don't actually have diabetes. I don't want one.
Yeah, Colton tweets in, add it to the will, Lloyd has diabetes. Another guy who tweeted before the show, hey, can we get an update on Lloyd and the beatus?
Oh, no. So, I did hear another part of the story that was a little bit more concerning, that you'd actually had your cell phone attached to your belt loop and you lifted it up and actually showed the person like, nope, see, look, this is my insulin calculator right here. Did you?
Well, that's actually attached to my shoulder. So I had one of those things just attached to my shoulder. So, yeah.
Man, wow. Lloyd, I don't know. No, this is worse than my cancer prank.
No, it is not even close. So don't even go there.
It's in
Scotty,
same,
stop.
No, it's in the same
stop.
Zip code. It's there.
I just like, you know what? I feel like I've been forced to have donuts and cupcakes and all this stuff lately. I just like, you know what? I just don't want to be bothered
okay.
right now. So I just
hey,
said,
Hans,
hey, I got diabetes.
Hey, Hans, let's role play here a little bit. Offer me a cupcake, okay?
Hey, Scotty, I just found this cupcake specialty shop and thought I'd get 6 or 7. I ended up with 12. Would you like 4?
Oh, man. Hans, you know what? It's really nice that you offered that. I really appreciate it. Hey, you know what? There's been a lot of treats rolling around the office lately, and man, I've been hitting the donuts really hard lately. So I'm just trying to cut back, you know, finish the week kind of strong without eating some sugar. So I appreciate it, man. That means a lot. But no, I'm going to go ahead and pass. You know what? Sue's office is over there. I definitely owe her a cupcake. So why don't you run one over to her? She'd appreciate it.
Well,
not telling Rebecca no, just so
I'm
you know.
I'm glad we're dealing with this and not diabetes. I'd be happy to get a cupcake over to Sue.
See, there you go.
You're not telling Rebecca no, so don't even go there.
Oh, I've known Rebecca for like 20
years.
You're
not telling her no. You're not.
She would respect boundaries. You need to set.
Did you get called boundaries. Out on it, Lloyd? Did somebody say, what? Did Ben or
no,
Jake
no.
say, what?
No, they just kind of laughed. I was like, and then I thought to myself, I was like, you know what? I should say I have diabetes.
You know, like, Bonneville supports like 8,000 charities. You're going to be asked to like MC a diabetes walkathon
that,
here coming
I came
up.
Clean
you know
quick.
That's going to happen.
I came clean. I said, actually, I don't have diabetes. I just didn't want to eat it. So there we go. I came clean quick. I did. So we're clear. I'm good. But at first I was just like, man, really? It's just nonstop. Can't have, like, donuts and being Dr. J brings in donuts nonstop, and I can't do it anymore. I'm like, I can't. I might actually have diabetes now.
All you got to do is just say, No, I'm good. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Right. That means, so means much. So easy. Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right.
Well, now we don't have time to get to anything, so let's just go to break.
Oh, we have time to spin it.
We don't got time.
Lloyd. See, you're now going to tell me no. You can't turn down a cupcake, but you're telling us to go to break and not spin the wheel.
Lloyd, spin it. We have diabetes.
We
do it for us.
No.
come on. Spin the wheel. Can't the weed man wants the wheel spin. Spun.
Yes,
let's go.
Yes, he does.
Until death do we part.
So, Scotty, we knew there was something behind this. We talked about it yesterday. Darren Waller was traded out of Las Vegas for a third-round draft pick to the New York Giants, and it didn't equate, didn't make sense. Still doesn't make sense to me. But, you know, when you got a situation like that, all of the muckrakers, they're going to dig on these things, and they're going to try to get to the meaning of this. Well, apparently, at this year's NFL Combine, Josh McDaniels leaked to the media that Darren Waller was going to be getting married. He ended up marrying some WNBA star and
Kelsey Plum.
And it was kind of a small ceremony. Well, apparently, after he leaked it, it upset Darren Waller. Darren Waller did not invite Josh McDaniels to the wedding. And it sounds like there was some type of division between the two. So, and what's crazy is Plum is still under contract with the WNBA. I think in Phoenix, is it, Lloyd?
Yep. No, she's in Vegas.
Oh, so she's in Vegas.
She plays for the Aces.
That's right. And Waller now has to go out to New York. So they're going to spend the first couple of years of their marriage apart. When they could have had it together, both playing professional level sports in their given town, but Josh McDaniels threw a pretty ugly wrench in that crank.
And Kelsey Plum sends out on Twitter with the news that Darren Waller just got married to Kelsey Plum of the Vegas Aces. Josh McDaniels' present was to trade him to the Giants. McDaniels is not a romantic, and Kelsey Plum responds to it and says, probably because he wasn't invited to the wedding.
Wow. Is Josh McDaniels really that short-sighted and shallow?
Well, look, this is pretty well documented. I mean, this is, you know, TMZ-ish, but the rumor is that Peyton Hillis, that played for the Broncos and was a really good running back, we've had his story. Remember, he was struggling to stay alive after running in and trying to save his kids that were in trouble, got caught up in the ocean, and he had to go out and save them. But anyway, he got traded from the Broncos suddenly, and the rumor around Denver was that because Peyton Hillis hit on Josh McDaniels' wife and then got immediately traded.
Mm-hmm.
He might be the most vindictive man in the NFL, possibly.
Well, I hope Darren Waller goes to New York and has a 1,500-yard, 18-touchdown
season.
Well,
he's not going to because he's pretty injury-prone right now, so I highly doubt it.
Lloyd, don't be – just because he's not with your team anymore doesn't mean
I'm just saying he has been injury-prone, so I don't know. I don't know if that's going to exactly happen.
Can you not be a Waller hater?
I'm not a Waller hater. I liked Waller.
Like, Kelsey's going to tear her ACL playing for the Aces. Like, you don't need to, like, pile on the family.
Hey, I'm not. I'm on board with McDaniels being kind of a tool, to be honest with you.
That's true.
It'd be nice if the Raiders had a cash flow that they could get McDaniels out of there because...
Well, they don't, so stop bringing it up because it's not going to happen.
Okay, but then you know what's going to happen. McDaniels is going to continue to ship out some of their best commodities for third-round picks that are going to trash our Raiders. I can't sit around
and
suffer through this as a Raider fan. You have no idea what I put into this Raider Nation over the years. You have no idea how much this means to me.
Anything into it, so don't even go there.
I don't understand, Lloyd.
He's emotionally invested, Lloyd.
No,
let him go.
He has no investment, and you know this, Scotty. And wait till he latches onto your team when they're struggling, because he's going to.
As a lifelong Raider fan, he would never.
Right.
I'm not going to be a pawn in either one of your
teams
games.
Like he switches underwear.
I'm not going to be a pawn in either one of your
right.
games.
Right.
Twice a week. Sorry.
That's a shot at me, man.
Jeez, man.
Depends on if, I, if it's on, a workout
on
week.
Your
it's
side
more
with you, and then you do that.
It's 4 to 5 a week if I'm working out.
All right. Well, it's probably time to go to break.
Yeah, before Hans the show combusts.
Too late.
Hans and Scotty, we'll wrap this thing up next. Straight 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
So, you think you know everything about college basketball?
The month being March and the topic being
college basketball.
All right, Einstein.
What? No way.
Time to put that knowledge to the test. It's the KSL Sports Bracket Mayhem Challenge, where you can compete against your friends, family, and the Zone Sports Network staff. KSL Sports Bracket Mayhem is presented by Burt Brothers. One-stop shop for complete auto care. Done better. Fill out your bracket now at KSLSports.com. Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah!
We've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling for you.
Let them see we're crazy.
Hanson Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. ReMedical, Utah's only physician-owned and operated wellness clinic offering ED treatment. It's discreet, non-invasive, customized for your needs. ReMedical.com. Get there today. Hey, Hans?
Yeah.
The Masters has just announced its menu yes. for the championship dinner. You ready for this?
Yes, please.
Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah, that's right, Scheffler.
Who I believe is a Texan, is going with, for the appetizer, cheeseburger sliders.
Yes, I love it.
It says served Scotty style. I don't know what Scotty style is, but...
My guess is a little sautéed onion and bacon and a little slide of cheddar, probably.
And firecracker shrimp, sweet Thai chili, and sriracha mayo for the shrimp.
Okay, put that on a skewer, throw it off the Barbie. Got a little bit of that sauce on it. Delicious.
Now he's going to go to a tortilla soup, avocado, crispy tortilla strips, sour cream, cilantro, and lime.
Love it. Lord, absolutely love it. I love tortilla soup.
And then the main course is Texas ribeye steak or blackened redfish with family-style mac and cheese, jalapeno cream corn, fried Brussels sprouts, and seasoned fries.
Keep your redfish. I don't care for it.
Yeah.
Give me that steak. Throw a little bit of that corn on there. I don't want your Brussels sprouts.
No.
Take those off my plate. But you could cover my plate in mac and cheese, and then you could set my steak right on top of that entire mound. That dinner sounds so good. That's a good dinner.
And dessert is a warm chocolate chip skillet cookie. I like a good cookie cooked in a skillet. There's nothing wrong with that.
Bless Scotty Scheffler for being the most skinny fat guy on the tour.
Yep.
Bless his heart.
I think that is a... Some guys try to get a little fancy with their dinner. There's nothing fancy about that. Just give me some steak. Give me some mac and cheese. Give me a little cheeseburger slider, and I'm a happy man right there. Scotty is a man of the people.
The only problem with the cheeseburger slider, Scotty style, if that is the bacon and the sautéed onions and the cheddar cheese like I'm thinking it is with maybe a little spread of mayo, is you get going on those, you put down three sliders, and you start into one bite of mac and cheese, and you can't get into the steak. As much as you love the steak, those sliders hit hard.
Yeah.
And you're just thinking, oh, it's just little. But three aren't little. Four definitely aren't little, and the five I typically go to is you're full by the time you get there.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem. But but you got to leave room for that ribeye too. I'm sure that those guys know how to cook that thing right.
I wish I could be there for that dinner.
Oh, I'd love one champion's dinner. Oh my goodness,
I am not Augusta guy. I don't care. Like people say, I got to walk around Augusta. I don't care. I don't. If I can't play the course, I don't give two craps about being there. This meal makes me jealous.
Just the taste of the Masters. You remember when we got the taste of the Masters? How cool was that? That was, and it was tasty. I loved it.
Yeah, it was. The egg salad. the cookies, the chips.
Pimento all cheese of it. Sandwich.
Yes.
I love the pimento cheese. Scotty, if I remember right, you gave me your pimento cheese.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling the pimento cheese.
I loved it. Really unique flavor.
Hey, before I sent out, I had a conversation with a couple of people. Lloyd and I think had a chat about this a while ago. Maybe I brought it up on the air. But I was we were talking about burgers, and somebody said something about a fried egg on a burger, which in theory I really like the idea, but every time I do it, it just doesn't live up to the expectations that I have for it. So I asked on Twitter, fried egg on a burger, yes or no, and I have gotten hundreds of responses on this sucker, and the majority of people are like, yes, absolutely yes, fried egg on a burger. Are you fried egg on a burger guy?
I'm fried egg on a burger guy every single day of the week. But I got to throw this in. The way you fry the egg and its consistency is critical. I can't have the egg pop and it be all yolk just going all over the place. I have to have it be a little bit more than over easy. It's got to have just a little bit of consistency to the yolk. I don't like yolk everywhere, but I do like the egg white. And I do like the yolk. I don't like it super runny.
Yeah. Interesting. Lloyd, where are you at on that?
I do love it, though.
Absolutely. I love it. I love the extra juice, the moistness that it gives it. It's so good.
All right. I don't know if Tim's hanging out there. Where's Tim at on a fried egg on a burger?
I can't stand it, but my sons love it. That Falcao burger at Wingers is his favorite. That's what he gets every time we go to Wingers, man. He loves that thing.
But you don't like the egg on a burger?
I can't stand it.
What, give me your best burger toppings.
Just a... Bacon, man. That's it. Bacon and barbecue sauce. Maybe some onion straws. Why are we talking about all this? Like, I'm starving, and it's like 3 o'clock. I've already had lunch, and I'm like starving.
Yeah, but Tim, you're like 6% body fat.
Bro,
man.
I'm fat. As
no, you are not, man. Eat a burger.
That's why as soon as I leave, I got to go to the gym. I got to work off something here.
You look faint to me. Get out there and get a burger.
Just put a slice of lettuce on that burger, and then you count it as a salad. You're fine.
Sure, man. Does that count for soda? Will that count? Will that soda weight loss allow me to eat a burger?
That'll
there
work.
There you go. Yep, yep.
Just got to
balance it out a little bit. You'll be fine. Don't worry.
All right. Love it.
Put the lettuce on top so you can't actually see the burger. That's how you do that.
Love it.
Hey, there's a lot of people out there that I know they've been meaning to get some things done, but for whatever reason, time or money or whatever, they think, now's not the right time to call RGS. It actually is. Like, you always talk about, like, you know, the best time to do it was probably a year ago. The second best time is right now to get it done.
Well, you're right. I mean, for a couple of reasons. One, prices, right? Prices go up. They'll never go down. Even though right now the good thing is lumber has dropped dramatically. If you're doing anything with wood, go to Home Depot now. You're going to find it cheaper now than you ever have. But unfortunately, other than wood, our industry doesn't fluctuate. So costs don't ever go down. They just go up. So it'll continually go up. So it's always now's better than any time because of that. But you said something on the last segment, and that is that, you know, you don't do it and then you forget about it and then this happens and that happens and then next thing you know you're in trouble again. Well, don't let that happen, especially with the gutters this year. Call now and let's get your gutters taken care of before the busy season hits. Do it while you're thinking about it. Don't put it off anymore. Get it done. If it's a money issue, we can use the financing to bridge that gap. It's not going to cost you a penny. You literally can get the job done and not pay a cent or payments or anything for 6 or 12 months. You know, it doesn't cost you a thing. So, you know, do that. And then if it's a bigger project, an exterior project, let's start working on it now. Let's get the designs going and let's make it happen.
You know, the thing that I always find really fascinating, too, is your ability to work, because designs change, color preferences change, and whatever somebody wants to do to their home, you're there to help, support, and do whatever they want to do to make it the home they want to live in.
Well, you're exactly right. And there's a couple of things. Like the International Builders Show is a huge show in Vegas every year. And, you know, we go down for the whole intent of purpose just to make sure that we're on it, right? Are we on top of the latest and greatest? And so our installers, our salesmen, they're everybody knows about the latest and greatest products, what's available, what's hitting, what's popular. We're always that company that's always the state of the art. We're always on top of everything. And it's important because it might be traditional. You may just go to a standard vinyl siding. You may go to the James Hardy siding, but you may want the latest and greatest of some of these new composite products. So whatever you're thinking, whatever you're dreaming, whatever you see and you want, let us know and let's see if we can make it happen.
Call right now, 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110. Call right now, and let's go. Let's get you squared away with RGS. Tim, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for letting us hang out.
Thanks, Tim.
Always appreciate it, as always.
There you go.
I say, just appreciate you guys, as always. And, hey, let's go Aggies. Let's get it done tomorrow.
Yeah, get it done.
Love it. 801-280-3110. Hands will be on 1280 tomorrow with the game. You'll be on 97.5 FM. Unrivaled coming up next right here on The Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.